Well, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the MyAccess session. And here we're going to talk a little bit about some updates to MyAccess, but also do some large-scale overview of the assessment as well. Just to get an idea, how many folks here are assessment coordinators? Teachers? Okay. Anybody new to administering MyAccess? Okay, good. So we have a pretty good mix. I think we'll be able to touch on everything, at least to the point where we can point you in the right direction for more resources, particularly for those of you that might be new, at either giving the assessment or supervising the administration of the assessment. If you are a coordinator, I would encourage you to pass a lot of this information on to your teachers, either through this presentation or through the resources that we're going to share with you. So my name is John Jaquith. I'm the Test Development Manager at the Michigan Department of Education, and this is?
I'm Antoinette Dorsett, and I'm new to the department. So you're getting a newbie, just a couple weeks. And I'm also from the Bahamas, so, you know, looking outside this morning, I was like, so anyone has the power of persuasion, I'll give you my husband's phone number.
So first we're going to talk a little bit about changes to MyAccess for 2020. And the good news is that there are not a lot of changes. What we did new last year for the supported, and Antoinette in a moment is going to cover the different levels of the assessment. So if you're not familiar with the levels, don't panic. We're going to go through that in just a moment. But we did want to make sure that you knew and highlighted the changes for you right off the bat. The first thing is that the supported independence level of the assessment has what we added last year for participation, which is specific suggestions for adaptations for students who are blind and visually impaired. As you know, we do not braille the participation and supported independence levels of the assessment because a lot of those students don't have the cognitive ability to learn and use braille. So how do you assess those students in that situation? We had received a lot of feedback from the field about the fact that they weren't even sure how to teach some of these skills to students. And so the suggestion was made that we provide some adaptations that could be used for students who are blind or visually impaired. And we got a lot of good feedback on doing that with the participation level of the assessment last year. So we've expanded that to the supported independence level this year. How many people are here familiar with eDirect? Okay. eDirect does not exist as it did in the past, but it's still there. It's now known as the DRC Insight Portal. Don't panic, it looks and feels like eDirect. but it should be easier for you to use. And then the Testing Site Manager, are there any tech folks in the room? The Testing Site Manager has been changed. Has been changed to the central office system. It's just a different way to do the same thing that the testing site manager did, all to try to help make things work and flow better for you. One thing to note about MyAccess and the testing window. So this is also considered new for this year. We moved the second window of the M-STEP assessment. Forward. So there's a two-week overlap between the two grade bands. That does not apply to MyAccess, and it did not shorten the MyAccess window. So MyAccess is still a seven-week. Not sure what's going on there. It's still a seven-week window. So you'll see that MyAccess extends 1 week beyond the end of M-STEP. Okay. And we're going to go on now and take a step back to some of the overview pieces for MyAccess. I somehow hit some kind of timer on that.
Okay, so while they're doing that, I'm going to go into who takes the MyAccess. Oh, okay.
Oh,
so I'll
okay.
Just talk about who takes the MyAccess. Okay, so the My Access, we know that it's the Michigan Alternate Assessment.
Thank you.
Okay, so the students that, this is designed for students with the most significant cognitive disabilities. These are students who the IEP team has decided they aren't able to do the general assessment, even with accommodations. So the My Access is designed for these students. And one of the things that is also important to remember that these students also, there's an impact on adaptive behavior. So that's a key.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's a key part that we need to always remember. So it is also, for these students, it's broken down into three levels: functional independence, supported independence, and participation. We usually say S, I, and P for those levels. Okay, well, these are some resources that we believe and are very helpful to whether you're new, whether you have been a coordinator for a while, even for IEP teams. This is the assessment selection guidelines training. It's a module. It's a visual. It's in the form of a webinar, and it takes you through the selection process. Who is to take My Access? The one thing I like about that, it is also, it gives you case studies where you can go through. It gives you different variations of students, examples. It gives you the case study, and then you decide who you have to answer at the end, and just to give you the knowledge. So I took it a couple of times. The first time I took it, I was like, oh gosh, I got that one wrong. But you know, as you go through it, it's a very informative tool. And it is really recommended that whether you're new, whether you've been in it, that it's good to do. I've done it three times just to, because I think it's so good. So the interactive decision-making tool, that's a good asset too. Because what it does, it goes through questions. It asks you, it's interactive. You know, the teams can use it. You answer questions, and then at the end, it lets you know, yes, this student should be taking My Access. So those two are really good resources that are relevant.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick if I can. One of the other resources that we have updated is the Should My Student Take the Alternate Assessment Flowchart? And I would love to have all these handouts gone. So if you want to bring some of these back to your district, please feel free to come grab more. We have incorporated a new definition for students with significant cognitive disabilities. And this is so new, it wasn't even available when we did the PowerPoint. So this has been updated. It's something that was required of us by the U.S. Department of Education for our flex waiver for the 1% cap. And it will also, in the next couple of months, be reflected in these two resources as well. If you haven't gone through these two resources, I encourage you to, but most importantly, those individuals involved in the IEP team process should have gone through at least the selection guidelines training, and the interactive decision-making tool can be used right at the IEP table.
Okay, so these are the standards that My Access covers. ELA, which, you know, it's called the essential elements, math, science, and social studies. And currently, we have current new alternate standards out for public comments. So who subscribes to the spotlight? Okay, that seems to be everyone in the room. There's a link there that on the spotlight. Which date was that? I can't remember which date it was. But it has a link.
Last week.
Yes. That will actually take you to the page for public comments. So we'd appreciate it. You know, you can go there and take the time, and the feedback would be great. Okay, so where can we find the alternate content expectations? So,
and real quick, if you don't mind, I'm going to interrupt again. Sorry. We include the slide not because this should seem obvious in a lot of cases, but we include the slide because people come up to me at the end of every conference and say, I hate to admit this, but I have no idea where to find the standards. So this would be a good exercise to walk your teachers through.
Okay, so it's on the My Access page, and you have the link right there. And when you go on the page, there's the Michigan's alternate content standards, Before you click, this is the flow chart that John just showed you. When you click on, when you click on this link, it also gives you a direct access to that, the flow chart, which has been, he indicated, has been updated. So when you click on the alternate content standards link, then it takes you to the next page where you can actually choose where you want to go, language arts, math, science, social studies. And there they are. You can explore the page, kindergarten, grade one, and it has all the grades listed, so you can find all the standards there.
One of the suggestions that was made that we're working on and has already been made, already happened on the social studies and science page, is putting these more in a table format than a list, so that's coming down the pike.
Okay, so for the FI functional independence, expressing ideas, the paper version, all students take the paper version, okay? So it doesn't matter if they're doing the online, all students take the paper version. They should respond to both. There's a prompt, two prompts, and they should respond to both. They should, they can do writing, drawing, or both on that prompt. And for supports and accommodation, the support and accommodations table is also listed on the My Access website, so that, is it the main page or My Access website for the support and accommodations table?
Should be on all of our assessment pages, yep.
All right. So for that, supports and accommodations for what students, the accommodations that students need or what you need to provide students, you can find that on that page.
How many folks are, I want to mention this now, how many folks are responsible for ordering materials from My Access? Okay, we want to stop and say this now because this came up a couple days ago. When you're ordering materials, when you're ordering materials for functional independence, you're ordering by student. And it, just to make sure you have enough materials, order for expressing ideas, paper, pencil, for the students that take functional independence. For participation and supported independence, you're ordering by assessment administrator, by grade level and content area. But by doing so, please make sure you're ordering enough. There's two things to keep to be aware of. Some people order thinking, well, I've got teachers that can share. Well, if you've got only a few students in the building, that might be possible. But if you are in charge of a center-based program or a building where you have a classroom where a lot of students in that classroom take these assessments, you may have students, you may have a teacher that has, say, 12 students, and the students are all over the court in terms of grade level and content areas that they have to take. It's important that you have enough. So I would not expect teachers to share at that level. And you also have to order one for your primary and one for your shadow. So make sure that you put in double for the number of classrooms that you have. Because the shadow needs to know the scoring focus in order to score the item. I think this is me. Is this me or you?
No, me.
Okay.
Okay, so just some reminders. For online students, FI, those are the students that take online functional independence. They interact directly online, so they take it on the computers. They indicate by clicking on the answer, and there are two parts. And for that test, for that assessment, you can give students additional time. You can break that test up as needed. For the paper, they, of course, it's a booklet. They interact with the booklet, and they circle. They use the book, and the answers are in the booklet. This can be broken up into as much sessions as needed when you're using the booklet.
And you could actually, either one could be broken into as many sessions as you want, because the test tickets, if you're not done with a part of the test, of the FI test online, you can simply pause and exit and come back to it the next day. But the booklet gives you certainly more flexibility in that regard. You have a question? Okay. So when you're preparing for giving the online administration, it's important that students be pre-ID'd properly. The pre-ID deadline, quote-unquote, the first deadline, critical deadline, was when? Yesterday. So we're a day late and a dollar short, right? If you miss that deadline, you can still change your students. You can change your change the pre-ID for your students at any time. But if you're responsible for the secure site aspect of things, it's important to know that all students are pre-ID'd from MSTEP. We don't have access to students' IEPs. We don't know who will be taking my access. And the expectation is that all students are assessed on the general assessment. So all of our students taking my access are exceptions to that rule. So they need to go in, and that needs to be changed from MSTEP to the right level of my access. This is a really key point. You must unassign them from MSTEP. Otherwise, they will appear in the DRC Insight portal twice. They could end up with a test ticket for my access and for MSTEP. And so that student may end up taking both assessments. It's hard enough for our students to take the state assessment, but if they take both assessments in the same content area, that's just cruel and unusual. And we've had that happen. Every year it happens. And a lot of times it happens unbeknownst to the two adults that are giving the assessment. So please, the best way to avoid that is to unassign. At this stage of the game, not only unassign, but check that student's record in the DRC Insight portal to make sure that they are not assigned to more than one level in one content area. The February 24th date is when things pull. But really, if you missed yesterday's deadline, check all of the pieces. Check the secure site as well as the DRC Insight portal, and be sure that you've got that covered. Accommodations must be entered into the DRC Insight portal. Now, for my access, that's very little that you're actually designating in the system. A lot of the supports and accommodations are universal tools for my access, so they're defaulted on, such as text-to-speech. Text-to-speech is defaulted on for all students, and anything that cannot be read because of construct just simply doesn't get read. It gets programmed into the system that way. If you have a student that's taking the assessment online for whom the text-to-speech is inappropriate, you can turn it off. You can just simply turn the volume down, and they won't hear it. However, you need to turn the volume back up for the listening part of ELA. Students will get test tickets. We are expecting adults are entering the test ticket information for students in the DRC Insight, in Insight for students when they first log on. These are students with the most significant cognitive impairments. We want to make sure that they are not prevented from testing because they cannot log in. So we're asking that the adults are logging the students in and getting them to the first instruction screen. At that point in time, they can take over with navigation. And then the Insight portal will open on March 6th, so you can start looking at these things. Yes?
I have a question. So I know that text-to-speech is different for MSTEP.
Yes.
For my access, it's defaulted. So I'm going to be called in. If we don't turn it off, and all the students stay
No, it's defaulted on for my access. Yeah. That's for everybody across the state. You do not turn it on or off. The only place you turn it off is if it's inappropriate for a student. MSTEP is where you want to be careful not to mass assign to all students because it's a designated support for my access, and text-to-speech passage for MSTEP is an accommodation. And that's where the confusion often comes in.
So do we check the IEP
For my access, it would either be in the IEP or you're going to know that because of the student's interaction with a computer. Most of the students for whom text-to-speech is inappropriate, a computer is inappropriate, and they're taking it paper-pencil anyway. There are two resources that are available up here. If you don't have one now, you can pick them up at the end. We have both FI and PNSI and back-to-back. These flowcharts were created a couple years ago to help test administrators and coordinators, but primarily test administrators, understand the flow of how the testing materials come in, how they get distributed, how they get collected. Okay, so this is a resource for assessment administrators. And this is, we have one for functional independence and one for supported independence, and we and participation are on the same one. It says supported independence, but this is for both, participation and supported independence. And the reason for that is because functional independence, as Antoinette said, is a student-facing assessment. Participation, supported independence is not. That is delivered through selected response items that involve picture cards or objects, or activity-based observation activities to which the assessment administrator and the shadow are scoring, and then they put those scores into an online answer document. And so the flow is a little different for each. For some basic reminders for participation, supported independence, we heard, I don't think I've heard this at all in the past year, which is good news. I think we're finally there. Every year we get comments in the survey at the end of the year that said, the graphics in the participation and supported independence booklets are too small for the students to see. Anyone know the reason for that? Right, they're not for the students. Students are not supposed to be looking at the test booklets. The test booklets are for you, and there's a thumbnail in there so that you know which graphic, which picture cards go with which item. That booklet tells you what the question is and what you're supposed to ask the students, and at the bottom of the page gives very specific information about how that item can be administered, what can be read, what cannot be read, as well as the adaptations for students who are blind and visually impaired. Keep in mind, if you have not given this assessment before, you will receive from our print vendor picture cards that go with each item, each selected response item. Objects that the student is familiar with are a perfectly acceptable and encouraged substitution for those picture cards. Whenever possible, we want the assessment to be authentic, so we want the students to use what they're used to seeing. You may not have something that's a good substitution, so the picture cards are the next best thing. The activity-based observation items contain three parts. One, what we're expecting the student to do. And the second part is an example. It'll say, for example, that second part of the ABO, which is often the longest part of the item, is an example of how you might carry that out. It's not the how I must carry it out. The how I must carry it out or what I must do is the first sentence. That second part is an example. The third part of that ABO is the scoring focus, and this is true for all of the items. And you need to make sure that whatever example or however you are carrying it out meets that scoring focus. Okay? And there's more instructions in our resources that will help you with that. So this gives you an idea of what the assessment administrator will see in the booklet for a participation level item. For our selected response items, the participation level will have two choices, two options. Our supported independence level will have three options. So for a participation level item, it'll show which one is a circle. This is the top of the page. So there's going to be one item per page. There'll be a top part of the page and a bottom part of the page. This is what the assessment administrator will see at the top of the page. The question is, which one is a circle? And it gives you a thumbnail sketch of what the answer choices are. This is what the student will see. A picture card, you put them side by side, you ask, which one is a circle? The student will make their choice. And then you say something along the lines of, don't let me fool you because I'm going to ask you the question again. You change the position of the cards and you ask the question again. Student has to get it right both times to get full credit. Okay, that's also true with selected response. The presentation of objects or choices for an ABO item may not always be appropriate. There are some instructions on that in the assessment administrator booklet. If you're asking a student a question about a typical routine that is their routine, or you're asking them to express an opinion, it's not going to be appropriate for you to ask them twice. Here's what the bottom of that selected response, this is an example of supported independence, and it's hard to see, but We're not really talking about the top of it at this point, but you'll see at the top it asks, which one of these contains mostly gas, and the choices are balloon, bottled water, and ice tray. And the students will see a picture card for each. At the bottom, on the first column, the first column tells you the specialized administration instructions. So for all students receiving this item, what in specialized instructions do I have? The first row is for the STEM, and it says you may read or describe any text, graphics, or labels that are in the STEM. Well, there are no graphics in the STEM, it's just a question in this particular case. In the answer choices, it says you may read, describe the answer choices, text, and graphics, and labels. You don't have to describe, you don't have to say, this is a balloon, it's got a circle and it's got a little squiggly, that's too much information, right? In this case, you're just gonna say balloon, bottled water, ice tray. But if you have a student who's visually impaired, maybe you might do a little bit of description based upon that student's experience and what you've done with them. But if there are restrictions on that, that will also be outlined in that column. The next column over are our sample adaptations for students who are blind or visually impaired. In this case, it's pretty easy. We're suggesting you use actual objects, a blown-up balloon, a water bottle, or an ice tray. With ice. Here's an example of a full page for participation. Which one is longer, car or bus? And again, you've got your specialized instructions on the first column and adaptations for students who are blind or visually impaired to the right. Our four activity-based observation items, this set of instructions will appear in the test booklet, in the assessment administrator booklet. I'm not going to read it to you. Basically, it gives you basic instructions on how to deliver that activity-based observation item. Again, the first section is what the student is expected to do. The second section is the for example. It is just an example. A lot of people will call and say, I wish I could do the item this way because this example is foreign to my student. What example would be appropriate for your student? 9.5 times out of 10, it's perfectly fine because it measures the scoring focus. That half time out of 10, usually they've gone so far away that it doesn't measure the scoring focus. Does that make sense? Okay. A lot of options for adaptation. This gives you an example of an ABO. Student will correctly indicate by manipulating or observing how to conserve water during a familiar personal hygiene routine by turning off the source. That's what we're expecting the student to do. If they can't turn it off, they're going to indicate what should be turned off. Okay? For example, the assessment administrator could complete a hand washing routine with the student, leave the water running, and ask, show me what we turn off to save water, or what do we need to do to save water? Whatever question works best for that student. It doesn't have to be those questions, as long as they are showing that they can conserve water by turning off the source, you've met the scoring focus for that item. Scoring rubric.
Okay, so this is the scoring rubric that is used for the participation and supported independence, and John just went through examples of questions that would be on the on the assessment. So this will be given to, it's in the booklet, it's in the administration booklet that will tell you how to score each of the items. So you notice that the P score, it has the P score and the SI score, and then it gives you the term. For example, I'll just read one. Responds correctly with no assessment, administrator assistant. So in the P, there's a score of 3, and the SI, there's a score of 2. So you'll be told how to score. So you have all that the TAM actually gives you all of that information. And so you have the test administrator and the shadow, primary and shadow. And so they give you, there's a guidance of the scoring rubric. You have the terms and how to score each of the questions.
Quick commercial, and it's probably inherent, I'm not remembering. But quick commercial, we do have a resource for training staff on how to score my access.
Yeah,
it is old. It is old technology, and it tends to only work with Internet Explorer at this point in time, although it changes from day to day. We are currently working on updating that. It's about half done. We're hoping to get that done as soon as we get all of our testing materials out for the year. But it's still, even though it's dated, it's still appropriate, and it shows the assessment being given. So while some of the examples in there may be old, might be to old standards, the premise is the same. It shows the assessment being given. It shows the primary and the shadow scoring, and it gives examples of what a 3, or in the case of SI, a 2 looks like, what a 2 looks like, what a 1 looks like, what an A, B, or C looks like.
Okay, and I also want to point out, it also tells you what is, for example, there's a note here, not allowed in SI, so it says respond correctly after assessment administrator provides modeling short of hand over hand assistance. So there's something you can do in P that you're not able to do in SI. So I just want to point that out, to certain things that administrators need to note.
Quick quiz. Does anyone know why the rubric is laid out this way? Or we're kind of giving partial credits when there's some prompts? This is done so that, because we want the assessment to be as much as possible embedded into the student's instructional day. So we don't want instruction to stop simply because a student hasn't responded. So what this does is it allows you to go to the next level of prompt with the student instructionally and still score it. That third level that's allowable in participation, the modeling or specific instruction, if the student doesn't respond at that point in time, chances are you might go to a hand-over-hand assistance kind of situation. We don't want to stop instructing the student at that point in time. So we keep going and we score the student accordingly. Yes, on the My Access web page under professional development, while those first two resources Antoinette talked about are towards the top, I think they're now the third and fourth one down, that rubric training is the very last one. I'm sorry, what was that? It'll be in that professional development section, and we will highlight it with big arrows and fireworks in the spotlight, for sure.
Okay, so this is a copy of the answer document. So it's color-coded. For the P is blue, and for the supported independence, it's green. And there's a section for the primary assessment administrator and for the shadow assessment administrator. They're scoring at the same time, but so they are as they're assessing the students. But the scores are inputted that's the next slide. So the scores are inputted online.
Yeah, before we get to that real quick, a couple things to note. One is that for supported independence and participation assessments, this is an online answer document. When you log in with the student's test ticket, make sure you've got the right content area. Okay? If you use the wrong test ticket, you could be putting the wrong information in the wrong content area. You have to designate a form number. The form number will tell you whether it's ELA or math. But you have to designate the form number. The form number is found on the front cover of the assessment administrator booklet. It's also in the header of each page of that booklet as well. But if you don't put that form number in, it won't let you submit the responses. The other thing is the instructions are, at this point in time anyway, that the primary assessment administrator enter both. The shadow collects their scoring pages, which, by the way, not only come with the materials, but are found on the MyAccess webpage under current administration. You can print off extra scoring pages. That's not secure. All it is blank scoring pages. The primary collects the shadows responses and inputs both into the computer. the score, true or false, the scores between the primary and the shadow have to match. True or false? False. This is a rubric. Not everyone's going to see everything the same way. The student's score is the two scores added together. It's not an average of both. Okay. So if there's 20 questions on the supported independence test and they get them all right, that's not 30 points, it's 60 points.
John, you just said that. So the primary is the primary assessment administrator collects the documents and enter online. That's just an additional note.
And this one, if you have a touch device, using a stylus works real well on those little buttons. It just makes it so much easier. So if you have a touch device, it's just a piece that Dan said he cut his time in half in terms of putting information in. Oh, it is on here.
Go ahead. And that's what he was talking about on the My Access page. There it is at the bottom, under professional development. And like he said, it's been around a while, but it's still relevant. Okay, this is the one.
Did you want to go? I'll go ahead and tap it. This is an example of just one example from that training that shows a student getting a correct score on a selected response SI item.
In this clip, an elementary school student named Cameron is asked to correctly select which of three living things is a plant. The primary assessment administrator starts by introducing the item to Cameron.
All right, Cameron. I'm going to ask you a question two times, okay? Do it one time and then do it one more time. Okay, each of these things, look here, and look here, and look here. Can you tell me which of these living things is a plant? Okay, now we're going to do it one more time. Which one of these living things is a plant? Thank you, Cameron.
Cameron answers the question correctly both times without assistance, so he would receive a score point of 2. If Cameron had not engaged in the item after it was introduced, the primary assessment administrator could have given him a verbal or physical cue. Then, if he responded correctly, he would receive a score point of 1. If Cameron didn't engage in the item after being given a verbal and/or physical cue, the primary assessment administrator could have picked up his hand and physically helped him point to the correct answer, or said, "Cameron, point to the picture of the flower. The flower is the living thing that is a plant." In this case, Cameron would receive a condition code of C. If at any time Cameron had pointed to an incorrect answer, he would receive a condition code of A. And if he resisted or refused to respond, he would receive a condition code of B. First, the primary assessment administrator told Cameron that she was going to ask him the question twice. This is important because some students might think they answered the question wrong the first time if the assessment administrator asks them the same question again, particularly if she doesn't say, "You're right," after the first response. Therefore, letting the student know up front that you're going to ask the question two times is one way to help prevent confusion. It also helps to prepare students who don't respond well to repetition. Second, although picture cards are provided by the contractor for selected response items, this assessment administrator chose to use her own pictures instead. She did this because Cameron responds better to color pictures than to black and white ones.
So a couple things to note there. Obviously, one, the assessment administrator used her own pictures. There are systems that different students use for communication. And can you use those instead of the picture cards? Absolutely, positively, yes, if we're assessing the same thing. People say, "I've got a different kind of analog clock that I use. Can I use that instead?" Yes. The other thing to notice is that there were two adults in the room. The primary assessment administrator was the teacher, and the shadow administrator was sitting behind. They both scored the responses at this simultaneously and independently of one another. In this particular case, the shadow was the principal of the school. Questions about how that gets scored. Like I said, that scoring rubrics training gives a lot of instruction on how to do that. Is this me? Sorry, I keep running my mouth. changes for MyAccess functional independence for 2020. Here's the short answer, none. So if you are used to giving the functional independence assessment online or with paper, there really are no changes this year. We still have accessing print using language is online, two parts for each. Expressing ideas, which is paper for all. Antoinette said this earlier. All students who take ELA need to take the expressing ideas on paper because of the way the students respond. Math and science each have two parts for each content area, as does social studies. For social studies, part one is all of our independent items, and part two are our context-based items. If that helps for a student, it does not matter which part you start with. For English language arts, part two starts with the listening items, so that if you have a student, for example, that you only want to have it read to them for the listening items and then turn it down, you've got that flexibility to start there. And then the second part of part two is the context-based items, the stories for accessing print.
John, I don't think I pointed this out earlier when I was talking about the standards for social studies. Only FI takes that assessment.
And actually, reminiscent or as a reminder, since we just came from that session just before this one, the board adopted revised standards for social studies in Michigan. So does that mean that the Michigan social studies standards for FI will also be changing? Likely is the answer. How, when? All to be determined. We're still concentrating on science. So for supported independence and participation, again, it's the same. We've got the single booklet for administrators, comes with picture cards. We have the selected response items. Each item will include instructions on what can be read aloud or not, and adaptations for students who are blind and visually impaired. That's the new part that we've added to SI this year. And activity-based observation items as well. Question? The grades for MyAccess, actually this might be a good time to move this to this level. They're the same as M-STEP with the exception of science. Grades 3 through 8 are for ELA and math, and grade 11 for ELA and math. 9 and 10, if you have a student who typically takes MyAccess, they took MyAccess in 8th grade, they're going to take MyAccess again in 11th grade, that you unassign them from the PSAT in 9 and 10, and they just simply don't test. Does not affect accountability. PSAT in grade 9 and in grade 10 do not affect accountability. So it will not ding you there. For social studies, grade 5, 8, and 11. If you have students who are taking the supported independence or participation level of MyAccess, and they're taking all the content areas for all those content areas and at participation or supported independence level, when it comes to social studies, they still need to be assessed. You're going to choose a local approach to that. It could be an off-the-shelf product. It could be something you've developed. It could be something that your ISD has developed. But social studies for the supported independence and participation levels often is very individual. What is important to that student and what's in that student's experience. So to come up with something statewide is very difficult. You still need to assess them. You're going to assess them sometime during the testing window and during the tested roster at the end in June, which is a part that a lot of people miss. Please make sure you don't miss tested roster or student verification. Is that what we're calling it? Student verification. You want to make sure you go in and enter and indicate that those students were assessed for social studies. Science is different. Science for MSTEP is grades 5, 8, and 11. From my access, it is still grades 4, 7, and 11 for this year. So if you have a student in grade 5 or grade 8, and they're expected to test because they are in those grades, but lo and behold, they take my access, you would just simply unassign them from MSTEP, and you wouldn't assign them to anything. They would just not test. How that student gets reconciled as a My Access student happens in our accountability system. It's a lot of legwork to do that because it's a lot of UIC searching. If you have a student who's taking My Access for the other content areas, and they're in grades 5 or 8, they would not test for science. What they're going to do is they're going to look at the students who didn't test for science for MSTEP and see, did they take My Access in ELA and in math? And if they did, you kind of get a pass. Students who took My Access in grade 4 and 7 are expected to have tested in science as well. Does that make sense? We've done that because of where their standards align. That will be changing. We're just not there yet. But it's changing faster than it did in the past. We have done a lot of work to develop new alternate content standards in science. It was a process that I anticipated would take, what was my estimate, 4 months, 5 months? And we are now a year. Here we are a year later. The alternate standards that were developed, we gathered groups of educators from around the state, general ed science folks or science teachers from around the state, from grades, from elementary all the way through high school. We also had on each committee two teachers whose students typically take the functional independence assessment, two teachers whose students typically take the supported independence level of the assessment, and two teachers on each committee whose students typically take the participation level of the assessment to look at developing these alternate content standards, including that Michigan range of complexity. Our focus was on instruction. The feedback that we got when we developed and put out the ELA and math, the new ELA and math standards, which are not new anymore, back, what is it, 2015? The essential elements, we only developed that range of complexity where we had the assessment so that you could see how they would be assessed. The feedback we got was that was not helpful to those grade levels that were not being tested for K, 1, 2, for grades 9 and 10. Well, we still haven't gotten back around to trying to develop those out for instruction, but the thought was, let's start this right. And what this has resulted in is that Michigan probably has the most robust set, whether they're right or wrong, right now they're draft, they're not final, but we have the most robust set of alternate content standards in science anywhere in the country. Because what other states have done is they've developed their alternate content standards for a test. We didn't want to do that. We haven't even developed the assessment plan yet. We wanted to make sure students were able to engage in rich instructional experiences. So these alternate content standards in science are designed for instruction, and we've got a full range of complexity, high, medium, and low, for all grade levels. K, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, middle school is a set, high school is a set, just like the quote-unquote general standards. They are out for public comment. As Antoinette said, we have we have an article in the Spotlight. In the next couple days, we should also have a link at the bottom of the standards page as well. There's a SurveyMonkey you can respond to put in some standards. You can send us an email. You can send us mail. It's open for public comment through the end of February. I encourage your teachers to go in, teachers of students that typically take my access, to go in and provide some feedback on those for us. That link will also be repeated in next week's Spotlight as well, but it is in the February 6th edition of the Spotlight. We also need item writers. We need item writers. We need item reviewers. Our items go through a process where they get written, they get reviewed by committees for bias and sensitivity as well as content. They get cleaned up. They get put on a test for. They get put on a test map for field testing. Then we look at the data. Those field test items do not get scored. So, for example, that supported independence test may have 20 items on them, but some of them are field test items. So the student doesn't get scored on 20 items. They actually get scored on 15. So my math may have been off when I said 20 before. the multiplication in my head. And then after they're field tested, they go through a set of committees again to look at the data to determine whether they are worth putting into our pool of operational items or whether they need to be revised. We need additional people on our committees. We try to not use the same people every time. We try to have a percentage of new people every time. So we're trying to increase our pool of potential committee folks as well as item writers. If you have folks that have written to alternate content standards in your building, maybe you have a departmental group that meets and they write them, or you know of folks that would be good at this process, I would encourage them to apply. Please come get a QR code at the end. You can just scan this QR code and it takes you right to the application. There's also a link to it on our webpage as well under professional development, but this is probably the easiest way to do it. And there's also this link on the longer link on the presentation that's uploaded to the site. Again, where are they? Where are these alternate content standards for science? They're found exactly where Antoinette told you the other standards were. You click on science and social studies. And the page doesn't even look like this anymore because I think 2 days ago, it was put in table format. Scroll to the bottom of the page. What we're asking for public comment on is anything that starts with the word draft. Please don't comment on the old extended benchmarks that are at the top of the page. Those are going away. Only comment on the draft content standards. And it should be pretty obvious because in the SurveyMonkey, they're organized by topic bundle. And these are organized by topic bundle. Well, should be a pretty easy match. Here's an example of one of the set of alternate content standards for science from grade 3 physical science. Like I said, they're organized by topic bundle. So here's the topic bundle, forces and interactions. This is the general content standard for science. Make observations and or measurements of an object's motion to provide evidence that a pattern can be used to predict future motion. The alternate content standard that the committee came up with was use observations and or measurements of an object's repeated motion to identify the pattern and use the pattern to predict future motion of the object. That would be the FI level, or the high level of complexity. So we're not necessarily asking them to provide evidence. We're setting it up for them, and we're asking them to identify parts. At the medium level, we're using observations or measurements of an object's repeated motion to identify the pattern. We're not predicting the future. We're just identifying the pattern. And at the participation level, we're matching a pattern of the motion to an object that is in motion or not in motion. So the depth and breadth of complexity has been reduced across, like with our ELA and math standards as well. Questions about how those are organized? Yes. The color coding, yes. Thank you. The standards, the science standards, the next generation science standards, the Michigan K-12 science standards, are three-dimensional. And they have three different components. One is the disciplinary core idea, the science and engineering practice, or the cross-cutting concept. Full disclosure, not all of them have been finished being color-coded. But for the most part, we have them color-coded so that you have the do you remember which is which? I know the red in this case, it's actually orange on the screen, but on this screen it's red, is the disciplinary core idea. We're going to use observations and our measures of an object's repeated motion to identify pattern and use that pattern to predict future motion of the object. And I believe this is our cross-cutting concept, and that's our science engineering practice. Yeah. And it does tell you, in the key or on the page, it tells you which is which. And the color may not match what's on the screen because what's on my computer and what's on the screen are two different colors. But they are color-coded. Questions about the science standards and where we're kind of headed with those? Yes, good point. This alternate content standard here is what we call the target. It is essentially what we would expect students working towards the alternate content standard. Students with the most significant cognitive impairments, significant cognitive disabilities, excuse me, should be able to know and be able to do at the high level. So the target and the high level are the same. The reason we have both is because in ELA and math, we adopted the essential elements that were created by the DLM consortium. Michigan specific, they're a little different. So to have consistency across all of our programs, we have them both. But in science, the high and the target are going to be the same. If the code has an M, that's the medium range, that corresponds to students who typically take the supported independence level of the assessment. It's the same M that appears in the ELA and math assessments. And the L would be our low level of complexity, same level you would see in our ELA and math content standards as well. Any other questions regarding, this is just the QR code again, any other questions relative to my access, the administration of my access, things you were hoping to hear today that you didn't? Within reason, like changes to policy or law that I can't change. Like I said, we would encourage you to make sure your staff is fully trained on how to deliver the assessments, on how to score, particularly the PNSI assessments. And we do have some resources up here. There's lots. Please take a chunk with you. This is the administration flowchart. Also, the list of important dates for my access as well up here. And this, like I said, this has been recently updated. The flowchart has been recently updated to include the definition that we were required to include by the U.S. Department of Education. That will also be included or incorporated into the other training as well. So. Oh, okay, super. So that's not it. We'll give you guys 10 minutes back to hit the road early. Thank you very much.